Well, if you have a Bible with you today, I want to invite you to join me in the book of Ephesians. And today we're going to be in chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, there's probably one in the pew directly in front of you. So you can go ahead and grab that. And if you're not familiar with the book of Ephesians, it's in what we refer to as the New Testament. So the Bible is broken into two, the Old and the New Testament. So Ephesians would be in the New. And if you're kind of just flipping, it's in between the book of Galatians and the book of Philippians. So if you kind of see one of those, you know you're close. Well, today we're kicking off a new series that's going to take us through around March time. So right now we're kind of thinking it's going to be about 8 weeks long. And one of the things that we're going to be doing with this series is something we did last fall, and that is texting in questions. And for those of you, if today's your first time joining us, or maybe you've been gone for a while, first of all, my name is Brent, and I have the pleasure of serving the community as the pastor. But one of the things we've been doing is we recognize this, that sometimes we gather together and we worship and we pray, and then this guy gets up and he speaks a message, and if you're like me, you're sitting there going, I got questions, like, how does this work, or what about this, or how do I apply that? So we thought, wouldn't it be cool if we could engage some of those conversations, and yet recognizing that not everyone feels comfortable standing up, kind of with the microphone type deal. So what you can do is, as we're kind of moving through today, you can text in your question, it goes to the computer in the back, and we, because of time's sake, we only can kind of hit the top ones, but we grab a few of them, and then I'll try to my best of my ability, hopefully being led by the Holy Spirit, to answer those questions, and if not, then that's something that we can then look into and hopefully be able to answer them later. So again, the number's there. It's also, if you have a bulletin inside page, when you first open it at the bottom, the number's also there as well. With that, let me ask you guys a question. Have you ever been sound asleep and for some reason, someone, it could be a spouse, it could be a parent, can be a child, it could be a friend, but while you're sleeping, they approach you to wake you up. But before they can, even though you don't necessarily hear the door open, you don't hear them wrestling, you wake up because you can sense their presence in the room. Has anyone ever had that experience? Right? If you're a parent, you know this one. When my children were toddlers, they were really great at this. They would like sneak into our room while we were sleeping. Especially my son, like, he's a little sneaker. And he would get like 2 inches from my face as I was sleeping. And then he'd be like, Dad, I've been like, right? I mean, it's actually kind of amazing that a little kid never got punched in our house. I mean, not deliberately, but like just that, but that feeling, right? That feeling of when there's something there's an unexpected presence in our room. Many of us know that feeling. In 2012, my wife Angela and I, along with just a handful of individuals, we began to meet together and we began to pray about a dream of planting a church. In March of 2013, we did just that. We planted a church. And over the next several months, things were going extremely well. So when you're a church planter, you go through like training, you go to seminars, and you read all this stuff, and they talk a lot about kind of the pitfalls of church planting and the hardships of church planting, and it is definitely difficult. But for us, it kind of took off. It felt like it was like out of a cannon. We were doing very well, where people in our denomination started coming in and saying, like, we can't believe how well this church plant's doing. You guys are growing financially. We were stable. Adults are getting saved, and we're baptizing them. It was truly amazing. It was a lot of work, don't get me wrong, but it was amazing. And for myself, I felt like I was just kind of like on cloud nine. I mean, I was just like, this is just awesome. This is great. This is, you know, I just felt like everything. I remember sitting with one of my governing board members and just being like, man, like, life is just so good right now. Like, things are going so well. That was until the early hours of the morning following Christmas 2013. Now, we probably, just like you, right? Christmas morning, we woke up and our kids opened, you know, we read the Bible story and we talked about the birth of Jesus, and then our kids opened their presents. And then our family, we have this tradition. We go out for Chinese food on Christmas. So we stole that from the movie A Christmas Story, and then I sing rah, 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 rah the whole way. My wife is annoyed. So we go, we get our Chinese food, and we come home, and like many of you, right, we had to watch The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, and we kind of do those things. And then we went to bed. So this would have been early in the morning, by around 2 or 3 in the morning, December. I still remember the day, December 26, because it was the morning after Christmas. But I was woken up with the feeling of a presence. And when I woke up, I knew there was something that wasn't supposed to be there. And I could feel, and I knew it was in our living room, and the way our house was, you went out our living room, you came down a hall, or excuse me, came out our bedroom, went down a hall, it was a ranch, and our living room was there. So I walked into our living room, and while I could not see anything with my eyes, I knew that there was a presence in the middle of our living room. Now, having had experiences like that, although few in life, I knew exactly what that presence was. So I stood in our living room, in my PJs, 2, 3, something like that in the morning, and I began to just pray out loud. And I continued to pray until that presence left. And then I prayed some more. It was kind of a crazy night. I stayed up for a while. I'll be honest, I did not sleep most of the rest of the night. I kind of just laid in bed, praying, thinking about things. Shortly after that event, it felt like everything in my life began to come undone. So I'm going to be really transparent with you guys, and I hope that's okay. It started first with Angela and I's relationship. And suddenly we began to argue and nitpick at each other to the point that, if I'm really honest, that if we were not followers of Jesus, we would not still be married. It was that bad in our home, where we just couldn't even stand each other. Our church plant began to experience problems. It started with a couple who were in positions of leadership, and they started doing some strange things. We had members starting to go, hey, what's going on here? We confronted them. They disagreed. The governing team sat them down. We talked with them. They didn't agree. So not only did they choose to leave the church and take many members with them, but they began to spread a rumor that I was involved in an adulterous affair, which was completely untrue. Never has happened. I began to experience health problems in my life. And to this day, I still live with daily pain. Some of you guys are aware of that. I've had multiple surgeries. I began to be plagued with terrible, awful nightmares to the point where I couldn't even sleep anymore. Issues with our extended family emerged. We started having financial problems. And I still remember this. I got to a point where I was sitting in a parking garage, and Some friends of ours had actually given us a second vehicle. We were sharing a vehicle at the time, but love them for doing it, but it had a lot of issues, so it left me stranded all the time. So I remember this. It was the middle of winter. This was probably a year into this, and I was sitting in a parking garage in a beat-up van that would not start, chain-smoking, going, I got family in Mexico. I could just run away. Like, I could just, if this thing will start, I could just drive to Mexico, grow a mustache, and no one will ever see me again. I mean, like, you don't want to see me with a mustache. It's not a good thing. I was at that point. Now, some of the things that came to a head during that time had been in play for years that I had not known about. We just seen the fruit of them manifest in our life. But for me, it began that morning on December 26, 2013, in my living room. And what happened was that Angela and I's marriage, our ministry, our family, our relationships with friends, our finances, they came under demonic attack in ways that we were not prepared for. We were not prepared for them. Looking back later, I ended up talking with some of the guys who help lead church planting coaching, and I said, this is what you forgot to tell us. We didn't really stop and think that when we planted this church, we were going to put a giant target on our back. And Satan exploited that. And our life came under demonic attack in ways that we were not prepared for. And my guess is that many in this room are unprepared as well. My guess is that many of us in this room, that we are unprepared as well. Got anyone here like Star Wars? Any Star Wars fans? Jess is a new convert to Star Wars. She's like, yeah! So I love Star Wars. Star Wars, I grew up with it. I love it. Christmas, we went and seen the new one. Like, I love Star Wars. If you've ever seen Star Wars, the newer ones, the seventh episode, it's called The Force Awakens. There's a scene that's very powerful. And it involves the character played by the actor Harrison Ford. So the character Han Solo, right? Everyone kind of know who Han Solo is? So, and Han is talking with this new character. Her name's Rey. She's kind of apprenticing. She's going to go on and become a Jedi. And she asks this question in these early stages. And she says, she asks, like, are the Jedi real? Now, if you've seen Star Wars and you've seen the old ones, the first one made in 1977, there's a scene in which Han Solo's character is kind of making fun of that. He's like, Jedi, Force, I don't believe in any of that stuff. But then there's this very powerful scene in which Han Solo says this. He says, I used to wonder about that myself. Thought it was a bunch of mumbo jumbo. The crazy thing is, it's true. The Force, the Jedi, all of it, it's true. Now, obviously, Star Wars is a fictitious story, right? It's not real. It's made up. It's a movie and books and things of the sorts. There's no such thing as Jedi. There's no such thing as the Force. But there is such a thing as the unseen realm. We refer to it as the spiritual. And in this unseen realm, there are spiritual beings who are working either to further or hinder God's kingdom. Let me say that again, because I want to make sure that we don't miss this. There is a spiritual realm. And in this spiritual realm, there are spiritual beings, and they are working to either further or hinder God's kingdom. And these actions not only affect what happens in the spiritual realm, but the physical realm as well, the realm in which you and I live. I want to be very clear on this so that I don't want there to be any confusion. There is a war taking place in the spirit realm that affects our lives daily. And some of us, we're kind of like the young Han Solo. We ignore it. We dismiss it. Some of you may be thinking, where is he going with this? This is a bunch of hogwash. But here's the reality. We can ignore it. We can dismiss it. We can deny it. But that doesn't change that it's true. Right? Imagine this. Currently down in our basement, we are doing some asbestos removal. Imagine this. Imagine if I said, you know what? Asbestos isn't bad for you. It's fine. And I went downstairs and I started licking it off the walls. Right? Some of you who work in construction and things of the sorts are like, not a good idea, Brent. Right? Obviously, it doesn't matter if I try to deny the truth. The reality is if I go downstairs and do that, I'm going to get sick. I'm going to get sick. Too often, the church lives as though the supernatural is not real. I went through 4 years of undergrad, 3 years of graduate school. I earned 2 theological degrees, and never once was I offered a class on spiritual warfare or about the truth of demonic forces. I don't even recall talking about it. The only thing I can remember from seminary is when it actually did come up was just an acknowledgement, oh, there are these spiritual beings and there's angels and demons, and that was it. And we never talked about it. Yet the Bible speaks often of scenes of war in the spiritual realm, of demonic attacks against individuals, about demon possession, and about the need for supernatural empowerment from the Holy Spirit to war against these beings. Pastor and author Mark Driscoll, in his book Win Your War, states, "To be biblical, you must believe in the supernatural. We give a nod to the big supernatural issues like Jesus' virgin conception, the bodily resurrection, but beyond that, many Christians live as skeptics of the supernatural." Isn't that true? Isn't it? We're very comfortable talking about things like the virgin birth and the resurrection. We'll hang our hat on that and go, those supernatural things happened. And I affirm that they did happen. But as soon as you start speaking of the spiritual realm and things such as demons and spiritual forces, people go, hey, well, hold on a second. Hold on, that's a little too much. Let's not go there. But I will say this, that the resurrection doesn't even make sense unless there is a spiritual war taking place. The resurrection doesn't make sense unless there's a real spiritual war taking place. And you know, as I was thinking about this week, the irony of all of this is while the church feels very uncomfortable talking about these things, our culture is obsessed with them. Shows such as Psychic Intervention, The Dead Files, Long Island Medium have had numerous successful seasons on television. Movies like Stephen King's It and The Exorcist and Paranormal Activity have made hundreds of millions of dollars. Go to Barnes & Noble and you'll find sections listed as supernatural and unexplained phenomena, new age and alternative beliefs, and as well as the teen-targeted paranormal romance. The spiritual realm is real. We need to neither trivialize it nor popularize it, which means taking it lightly. But instead, what we need to do is we need to carefully understand what Scripture reveals about this realm, the beings who occupy it, and how it impacts our lives, both today and into eternity. Ephesians chapter 6. This is really going to be kind of our springboard text for this entire series. The Apostle Paul writes, he says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Now, over the next several weeks, we're going to break down what these rulers, these authorities, these cosmic powers and forces are. For today, we're kind of setting the table, if you will. For today, what I want you to recognize and what the Apostle Paul wants us to recognize, and the church in Ephesus, he wants them to see this, that there are unseen forces of evil that are scheming against you and me to keep us from living the life that God wants for us. There are demonic spirits scheming against you and me to keep us from living the life God wants for us. Chief among that, the number one thing that they will prevent or try to prevent is the salvation of God's elect. Many of us have experienced pain in our life, whether that's illness or broken relationships. We suffer setbacks. Our relationship with God has, we are born with it severed because of sin, or maybe you are in a situation where it is strained right now. Scripture wants us to understand that there is a spiritual component influencing our circumstances. It could be directly influencing us, so we sin and it affects our life and our relationships with God and with others. It could be influencing another. People sin against us and then we have to bear the cost of that. It could be influencing situations, causing disasters and difficulties and accidents. The realm in which we live is affected by what happens in the spiritual realm. Now, I want to put this little kind of footnote. I'm not saying this, that there is a demon under every rock. It's not what I'm saying. But we have to consider spiritual forces working against us, which many of us never do. Matter of fact, I am positive that there are people in this room right now who have gone through or are going through currently hardships. And you have blamed others, you have blamed yourself, and you have shaken your fist at heaven and blamed God. How I know that is because I've been there. And I've done all of those. But what we fail to grasp is that the real problem might be something demonic. And until we do, and until we learn to fight the war that we're called to fight and fight the enemy that Scripture tells us, we'll never be victorious. So let me give you a really bad example. Currently, our country is in a battle against terrorism. It's been going on, right, long time. Back when I was in the service, it was going on. Imagine this. Imagine if for some reason our Navy and our Army began to fight against each other. Imagine this. Imagine if the Navy, so strong that they completely wiped out our Army, right? They called Tom Cruise, right? He flew the jet and blew everyone up. No Top Gun fans? All right, never mind. Wow. Here's the thing. Even if the Navy annihilated our Army, they would still be entrenched in a war against terrorism because they'd been fighting the wrong opponent. Many of us fight the wrong opponent. We fight each other. We fight the church. We fight God. When our real enemy are spiritual forces in the unseen realm, trying to hinder God's kingdom. I am running out of time, and I have so much more to get through. Let me just jump to this. Throughout this series, the goal is to help our church understand a few things. First, I want to help our church understand what the Bible means when it speaks of things such as Satan, demons, principalities, mights, dominions, and powers. What really are those things? What authority these spiritual beings have on our life? The difference between demon possession, oppression, and influence? How we recognize signs of spiritual warfare in our life and in our church? And then most importantly, learn to use the weapons that God has given us to fight against the forces that are trying to stop us from fulfilling God's plan for our lives. Now, as I've been noodling on this series for months, researching it for a little bit now, And I'm going to be honest, there's part of me that was a little afraid to do this series. Because the reality is, I know this, that some are going to write me off. Or at minimum, you're not going to take what I say seriously. You're going to go like, that's weird, that's right. That's mumbo jumbo in the words of Han Solo. Some may even get so upset that they leave our church over this. That is not my intention. That is not my goal. And I hope that doesn't happen. My hope is this, that first and foremost, we can look at this text and allow the text to inform our understanding of the spiritual realm and the impact that the spiritual realm has on ours. And if you find yourself not agreeing with me, do so because the text shows you that. Not because of what you have been taught, not because of your religious traditions, and not because it makes you feel uncomfortable. I think a lot of the reasons why we don't talk about this stuff in church is because it doesn't jive with our traditions. And if I'm really honest, especially within the Reformed Church in America, we don't talk about this stuff. And I believe a lot of the things that we're experiencing in our churches and in our denomination is a direct result of it. So if you disagree, do it because of what this book says. And then secondly, I want us to not just be hearers of the word, but I want us to be doers. For the next 8 weeks, I can stand up here and I can teach you all a bunch of stuff and I can open up the languages and right, we can look at the historical context. But if it only goes here, it doesn't help us. We have to apply it to our life. And we have to be living as people who understand that there is a spiritual realm and we expect the supernatural in our life. Because, my friends, that is the only way that we will live victorious. So we will kick off next week with a sermon I'm entitled, we're kind of using this boxing metaphor. We're calling it In This Corner. And we'll talk about that next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks, God, for your love and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for the gift of life that we have through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, that we can know that our sins are forgiven. And Lord, that our relationship with you has been restored and we have hope to spend all of eternity with you. Lord, in the meantime, we recognize this, that we live in a fallen and a broken world, a world in which there are forces that are trying to hinder your kingdom from advancing forward. So Lord, I ask that as we step into this series that will be going on for the next several weeks, God, that you would first and foremost open your word to us. God, please don't let this be about what Brent says. Let it be what your word teaches us. And whatever your word teaches us, God, may we be willing to follow it and not get caught up on what we feel or what our traditions teach. But God, may we really explore and engage what your word teaches to us. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't become obsessed with this topic because that's unhealthy, but Lord, that our focus would be on you. And it would be about the weapons of warfare that you have given us to help us live victorious lives and to help us, God, partner with you to expand your kingdom. And Lord, I pray that as we do that, that you would do your part, God, that you would transform lives, God, that you would save souls. Lord, that you would use us, that you would use this church called Trinity to be a light in the darkness, to be a place of refuge, a place of advancement. And Lord Jesus, that your name would be proclaimed in our homes, in our schools, in our places of work, in our town, and all around the world. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here who does not know you, Jesus, that today they would hear your voice, and Lord, that they would surrender themselves to you. Jesus, we pray this in your holy name. Amen. Awesome.